Coming up for you now, you're going to hear all about Shelley Morris, OAM, New Creative Project, a new children's album, and it's out now, and it's called Singing for Our Little Ones. It's recently been released, and it's a celebration of the Warramungu language, now considered severely endangered by the UNESCO, as there are fewer than 50 fluent speakers left. Shelley collaborated with Warramungu elders Rosemary and Marlene Plummer and Miriam Frank to create this album geared towards young ones. NITV Radio's Kerry Lee Barry took some time to have a yarn with the much-loved and respected musician Shelley Morris.
Hi, my name's Shelley Morris. I'm a Yanyuwa and Wadaman woman from the Northern Territory.
Thanks so much, sis. Now, you've just been working on a recent project. It's very exciting, and it's a landmark children's album celebrating all things culture, learning and language. Tell me all about it. Where do we start, Shelley?
We start 18 years ago, actually, when I first met Rosemary Plummer, and she had this dream. She was very worried about keeping language alive, the Warramungu language. And, of course, in those days, she was a real help to me in the bush, you know, that was a long time ago. And, you know, I was only learning my way, and she was able to really support me there when I was visiting Tennant. And I visited again and 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 again. And we became quite close, and then she shared more of her vision and her dream of keeping language alive. And I started to sing in languages by then, you know, because I didn't grow up with any language. So, and I found the only way I could eventually speak it was, and I'm a singer-songwriter, I could sing it. And those more difficult words that I could then say later. And then I just talked about my journey with music and language. And anyway, as the years go on, I'm going back there, and we went and saw people to see if they could help us make a children's album. We spoke about learning early is easier for children, and, you know, children that are speaking language early is beneficial. And so, yeah, we just kept going on, and then they finally found some funding, and then it's too funny because they're going like, who are we going to get to help us?
Hey, look out.
And then one Bolander lady, one white lady in the community goes, what about Shelley? And, oh, my God, yes, of course. So they rang me, and I felt really, I would have been proud either way, but I felt really proud that I got called, and went down there, and we made this album in 2 weeks. Wrote all the songs in 1 week, and I had to learn the language, which was very exhausting, but so worth it. And then, we recorded it the next week. And
that's a pretty quick turnaround in production, writing the songs in 1 week and then recording the next week. And on top of that, learning the language. Hey.
Yeah. Look, I think, you know, once you start doing it over and over again, you do get quite skilled once you learn. And I'm around, you know, the ladies that are lucky enough still to speak fluent Warramungu. And so once I learned how they write it and read it, because I'm, you know, work in many language groups now, and I've worked very, very hard at it. And I suppose you pick up these skills and I go, okay, well, now I know that that double J is a ch sound, and that is this sound, the P is a B, you know, and then off we went. Yeah, they were very proud of me, and of course correcting me as I went along, and
And it's a women's led project, is that right, sis?
That's correct.
Excellent.
It's so great, especially because, you know, no one gets to hear from the ladies, especially up here. So it's really great to see these projects start to come out, and women taking to be in the forefront of music.
And I want to hear about the type of songs that you wrote with the mob up there, with the young ones and the women. Tell us about what the songs were all about.
Well, I think the songs are always led by the community. You know, we work together, and obviously Rosemary and I, and so, you know, working with my three mothers there, you know, through our kinship system, it's really quite relaxed, and we get that vision. And we talked about that earlier before I came down. Okay, they'd like a lullaby. They want an animal song. One song, the respect song, was in dedication to one of their brothers that had passed away, a wonderful human and also, you know, a very good singer and culture man. So that was really important to them. We talked about kids going home, you know, on dusk, on dark time, and they wanted a song about that. And then we put together the Strong Heart song, Strong Brain, Strong Heart, Strong Spirit, That's Me. And then I said to the guitarist, oh, let's do a bit of a Macy Gray kind of feel. Yeah, so we just...
Oh, sounds really cute, sis. Yeah.
Yeah, and we did that spoken word one as well about the little ones being able to lie down on a mat and just imagine what this landscape, what does Warramore country look like and feel like? So you could close your eyes and listen to that.
So it sounds like a beautiful guided meditation for these young ones on country, right? Yeah,
that track definitely is. It's very beautiful. I'm incredibly proud of us all.
How important is it for these young ones to be influenced by music compositions at this early stage, you know, living in remote areas, sis? How important is it for them to be exposed to music?
Well, music is a part of who we are. It comes with all of our, you know, cultural songs and dances. You know, they're born listening to that in the womb. And of course then we introduce them to, you know, the Western education and everything changes. But music can always be that place that's your own. And so all children love to sing and jump around and dance and look at the Wiggles, you know. So it's really important for children's brains, early childhood, to have these movements and actions. And we got to perform the album with the Tennant Creek Primary School, which was a mix of our kids and, you know, Balanda white kids, and, you know, watching them come up with actions themselves and feeling really proud of that. They did it themselves. Let's jump around like kangaroos and let's do this and let's do cold weather and hot weather. And it's empowering for them.
And where did they do that performance, sis?
At Tennant Creek, in Tennant Creek.
With so cute.
Darwin Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, the Darwin Symphony, look out. What was look that out. Like yeah, for those kids to be on stage like that and
they
embrace this music?
It.
They loved it, eh?
They loved it. They were so excited. The school was on board with support. I think one of their teachers is quite the musician. So he was rehearsing with them whilst I was away. And then it was just really special, yeah, to see them feeling really proud. As you say, all the colours were there, you know, black and white walking together, singing in Moromongo and English.
And a beautiful collab with the symphony from Darwin, the symphony orchestra, with the young ones. Like, how does that collab happen, Shelley Morris?
Well, to tell you the truth, true God story, I was in the studio recording one of those songs. I think the ladies had gone home and I was putting down some piano or something. And then this guy walks in, he goes, oh, hi, I'm... so-and-so around. I said, oh, no, because I'm so-and-so from the Darwin Symphony Orchestra. And I said, hello. He said, "What's this music?" I said, "Oh, we're just recording an album here." "Oh, that's fantastic, because we're going to do a concert here. And maybe you and the ladies and some children would like to be involved."
And that's how the magic happens right there, Shelley Morris.
Exactly. Someone just walks in the studio.
That's you. Yeah, look, yeah.
And I'm always up for that sort of conversation as well. And, yeah, definitely promoting, you know, in a way, promoting the work or the, you know, just for the women and the children, of course, you know.
And I think, too, it's good for our young ones to be exposed to the instruments from a symphony orchestra, right? I remember one of my earliest memories as a youngster in primary school was going to see the ABC orchestra, who toured around regional towns in Australia, and seeing them, I think they'd come once a year or whatever, and they'd play, and I was awestruck, sis, you know?
Yeah,
by
yeah.
these instruments, seeing them for the first time. Yeah, just beautiful. Mm.
Oh, yeah, look, it's really wonderful, really. They didn't, you know, asking about what that instrument was, and so they were able to, you know, to when our little rehearsals happened, and the kids, and it was really great. It's such a great thing, you know, we're opening up our minds, and we can do what, you know, I think the time is now to take back the things that were taken from us.
But tell me, what instruments were they dorying at, eh? Having a look at there.
Well, they only had like the sort of a small quartet, so they had a cello, a couple of violins, violas.
Beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then when the orchestra came, they were just big eyes. It's so good.
So gorgeous. Now let's talk about the Warramungu language. It's under the UNESCO's endangered language list, this Warramungu language, and seen as severely endangered. It's so important that these young kids are doing this, right?
Absolutely. Like, there's nothing worse, and as a person who knew zip and knew nothing and came back home and was surrounded, you know, first of all by my family in Kakadu and their fluent language speakers, and then went straight on to Garama Festival and was volunteering there. I'd never heard fluent language, and I felt that. I just went, there's nothing in my education. There was no opportunities. Obviously, I was so far away growing up in Sydney. And then I was broken, you know, absolutely broken. I thought, well, you know, I could probably do something, you know, I can either cry my eyes out. I'd still cried my eyes out for many years. It was a very difficult journey. But I said, I just might as well have a go, you know, just I'm going to have a go. Yeah, it was really, really, I remember the day at my sister's place in Kakadu, and they're all plucking geese and sitting on a mat, and everyone was just talking language, and I thought, this was very early. This is like 27 years ago. I came back 28 years ago. And I thought, I could sit here. I could go out and sit on the mat and not understand a word and feel really shame job. Or I could go back to sleep and pretend I didn't. And I thought, well, time to put your big girl pants on.
Yeah.
And sit down on that mat. No one interpreted for me. They did other sort of hand signals, making me laugh with the goose, and I just had to learn to sit in it and to fight all that anger and depression, and yeah. And then I just started one word at a time.
And I know the word journey, you know, can be bandied around sometimes when we speak about that word journey, but it really has been quite a journey for you. What's it like for you to look back now? I mean, I'm hearing it in this conversation, sis, but are you proud of your journey, your very big, long, windy road of family, language, culture that a lot of us go through, and we can identify with your story? How are you feeling now, all these years later, sis?
I feel very grounded. I feel really grounded. I don't really want to be, I love going to the cities and doing those things, but I really, first opportunity, I'll go out bush. I fell in love, you know, any kind of bush, any kind of remote regional place in this whole country. I think, you know, it just, I feel really at peace within myself.
I can hear that in your voice, Sis. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I search for that for so long. And whenever it goes away, you know, from moments in your life when you get stressed or, you know, upset about something, I go searching for it again because that peace I looked for, you know, living such an anxious life before that, not because I wasn't loved by my adopted parents, but because no one looked like me. There was no Aboriginal people around me till year 9. And I drew this picture when I was very little, and it was just red I drew red dirt, and I drew these black bending trees. Now, they had no leaves on them, and they were bending. And it wasn't until I came through this country and I said, oh, my God. Because Mum goes, what did you draw? And I just skip in her room as a wee child, and you've got to take me to the red dirt. Yeah, look, I'm just, you know, this album means the world to the Warramunga people, but not only that, there's resources available. There's a sort of a backing track CD, music available that if people want to translate that in their own languages around the country. I know there's a colouring book, so, you know, they could write their, you know, the word for emu or word for kangaroo in their languages, in other languages around the country. And because, yeah, it's a start, you know, for that repatriation of, yeah, because we've got a lot of languages that are dying here in the NT right in front of our faces.
True.
It's not good. Like watching it before your own eyes. And others are seeing it. And they might be fluent language speakers, but they're going, nah. I'm saying, you know how long it takes? 1.5 generations, it's just about gone. Like zero.
No, that's so sad, Sis, to hear. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And we need to be talking about this more, yeah?
We do.
Across
we
white
really
and black
do.
Australia, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sis, what's next for you and what are you up to these days?
At this very moment, I'm halfway between Alice and Uluru, and I'm supporting the Mutitjulu community in working with the primary school kids and high school kids and writing songs in Bidingara and in English. And these children have been working with me for over 10 years. So when they were 5, now they're 15, and so they know how it rolls, and we'll be performing at the 40th Handback Celebrations at Uluru.
And they're going to be big celebrations coming up, hey? When's that happening, Sis?
It's the 24th of October.
So there'll be a lot of preparations happening in that community, a bit of a buzz, I could imagine, around Mutitjulu mob at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a beautiful little, we have little concerts leading up. Like they have sunset, they were calling them sunset sessions in the Mutitjulu community. So the Mutitjulu band would play, I'd play. I'd sing the children's songs because they weren't brave enough. Because, you know, it's a bit hard in your hometown, but we'll get there for the concert. I said, come on, you performed when you were 5. You can do it again.
You had me at sunset concerts. That sounds really delightful out there. Beautiful.
It was so delightful. The weather was perfect. It was about 24 degrees, no wind, no flies. And there was a huge barbecue. So the whole community came along and they had a few speeches And then, yeah, we were able to make some music and the Mutitjulu band played and I sang and working with Buzz Bidstrip, the drummer from the Angels, so we were singing some Angels tunes.
Hey, look out, bit of rock and roll happening around Uluru, eh? Gotta love that, Shelley Morris.
Yeah, look, it's been absolutely, what a journey, you know, with this community over the years, and to be able to be still visiting and working with those beautiful young people.
You've been on this journey we've been yarning about today in our conversation. So much more for you to get out there and discover with communities, music, language, culture, people. What's left for you to do? What's your dream, Shelley Morris, if you want to share them?
I think my dream's moving into some of the health outcomes. Obviously, I've been doing this work for a very long time, and close the gap statistics don't really gauge, because it's Australia-wide.
Mm.
I mean, you know, people are passing away in their 20s and 30s, especially in some of the communities, and the community aren't leading the projects. That's why. That's what, there's no self-determination in the government coming in and saying, well, let's do this and let's do that. And I'm really passionate about the community leading how they want to get that health message across to start preventing some of this. You know, I can't, that's what I, you know, hope to be doing. Just really passionate about that. You know, there was 53 funerals before August in Borroloola. 53. So, you know, between 20s, 30s and 40s and 50s. Yeah.
Too young, so, sister.
Too young. And it breaks my heart. You know, a lot of these people, you know, my family and musicians and artists. So hopefully that can start very soon. And working alongside Uncle Jimmy, Little Thumbs Up program.
We always have hope. Shelley Morris, thank you so much for joining us on NITV Radio.